nearly every month, we stand on the stage of Technori and talk about the big difference between our pitch and everyone else's. And that big difference is sitting here in studio with me. It is founder and CEO of Square Planet, Brian Burkhart, who I would love to tell you what the big difference is, but he's going to do such a better job of telling it than I am. I'm Scott Catoon, and this is Technori Live. Welcome to the show, Brian.
It is so good to be here. Thanks, man. I appreciate it.
Thank you for coming here.
You know, and before we get going,
yes.
I've actually really wanted to congratulate you.
For what? What did I do?
Well, you know, I think taking over Technori is a big deal, and you've brought so much energy and enthusiasm to it. And so this is my quick little way. This is a bottle of Veuve Clicquot, some French champagne.
An orange box.
We're all about orange at Square Planet. It's a big part of our reason for being. But this is for you. Congratulations.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Enjoy. Drink.
It's my pleasure.
We're going to drink. If I could drink this right now, I would. Awesome.
It's not cold.
Champagne doesn't need to be cold.
I prefer it cold, but that's just me.
I do too, but
that's
me. It depends on how many you've had already.
Good point.
But I appreciate that. Thank you. And of course, knowing you picked it because of orange. Square Planet's colors, for anyone who doesn't know, is orange. You should see that when you come to Technori on our slide.
That's right.
You should see the Square Planet orange.
Orange is the color of contrast. We want people to stand out and be noticed. So it's very much.
We kind of have the same. So, like, you know, let's get right into sort of this is a big part of what you do. Obviously, people know that, you know, speech training and things like that, but it's really not about that. It's about creating contrast and creating a differentiator
right.
that people recognize and listen to you and find that the time that you've taken from them is been used properly, that I'm not standing on stage just babbling on and people are like, wow, that was 45 minutes. I'll never get back. We kind of took the same approach. When I took over Technori, I revamped the logo only subtly. I didn't want Seth to freak out and, you know, throw me off the stage. But we kind of tightened the green up, made a little bit more sharp colors for contrast and really tried to liven things up, which is where I've given, you know, your guys free rein on our pitch presenters.
Sure.
Why don't you kind of get in a little bit about what Square Planet is about and what, you know, sort of how you view yourself as changing how people communicate?
Absolutely. Well, Square Planet is kind of a unique little animal. We believe deeply in making waves. And if you think about what that means, is not everyone is the right client for us. We want people that have a message that they believe that needs to be heard. And there are those few that really want to amplify that message and do things in a way that stand out from the noise. And so we work with clients, a lot of big corporate CEO types, Fortune 500 companies. We work with a lot of startups. We work with large groups for things like meetings and events, where those messages must resonate. They must be memorable. And lots of people want to play it safe and go right down the middle. We have no desire to do so. And so if you work with us, we're going to help you make waves so that you're noticed, that you're remembered, and actually people do something about it. When it comes to things like pitch at Technori, most people think of that work as, where do I put my hands? Where do I stand on the stage? What should my slides look like? And yes, that stuff matters, but only a very small percentage. The big thing that we work on is beliefs, the structure, the content, the underlying stories that make a company, even a startup company, attractive to other people. And it's so much deeper than people think and far harder.
Well, I will tell you, I don't think we've actually relayed this back to you guys. So this is something that you're going to learn right now.
All right. I like this.
So two companies had all the companies last month were great, but two companies in particular had some standout. One of them is coming on next year, and that's Crowdfind. Benji had a delivery line that the entire place just exploded in laughter.
Don't you love when that happens?
Oh, it was great. And Convo had the same thing. Jason had a, I believe he is the first to use the F-bomb at Technori, and he's certainly the first to have used it three times at Technori.
Nice.
And it was effective, not offensive. People loved it. It was in perfect context.
I actually have a presentation trends top 10 list for 2016, yeah. And one of them is swear words.
It's
sort of allowed at the right time.
At the right time, and not being offensive and not being, you know, gross or whatever, and knowing your audience obviously is huge. But I also think, you know, part of this show, we've sort of sprinkling cursing into it a little bit because we found that the millennial slash entrepreneur person doesn't have time to mince words. And if I'm that guy, then I say the shit I got to say. Right?
Well,
see what I did there?
You.
Yeah,
Scott,
well,
no.
You just slammed. Hey, you know what? But that's the point. So anyway, one of the companies, Crowdfind, not only did they help out with that, but they actually helped out in reviving a show so we can even have our event. So here's what happened. We didn't have slides. They went down. The PowerPoint got some sort of corrupted file 45 minutes before showcase. People are all in there doing their networking thing. And actually, we had some other issues. Coco Mears, who was our keynote, her slides weren't even on the thing. They were never recoverable.
Oh,
and it
no.
was too late. So I'm sitting there freaking out. We've got, you know, these guys are in the back helping try to piece together everyone's slideshow, whatever. And in my mind, while I was sweating profusely, I actually didn't, I wasn't terribly worried. People were asking me, like, I was drinking a beer. I was, people were like, why are you not, like, just killing people? And I was confident that we had done enough work at your office the week before about telling the story, that if we didn't have slideshow, the show would go on and it'd be fine. We'd throw up a slide for Technori and a one-pager slide for each company as they come up. And the companies were trained well enough that they could go up there and tell their story, and the slideshow itself is completely worthless.
I love that. And I would tell anyone that's listening or watching this to go YouTube Michael Bay, the 2014 Consumer Electronics Show meltdown. It's the perfect example of people relying on their technology.
Yep.
What happens is we all put so much time, energy, and effort first into creating things like slides, and it's the wrong order.
Yeah.
You should do that last.
That's
you should work on your content. And it's a factor of, we actually say 87-13. 87% of your time on your content, 13% of your time on your delivery. I have not mentioned slides yet.
Yep.
That's 100%.
Yeah.
If you can nail your content and
I hate slides. We use them because it's effective. When you have an when you've got an audience of 500 or so people, and whether no matter how many is on live stream, I think the one challenge becomes we don't have weeks to practice.
Right.
So you can't rely on the team, every team being able to come up and nail it. And so you've got to have some sort of distraction or something for them to follow. But in a perfect world, if I had a month to prep these teams, we wouldn't even have slides. I'd have a one pager thrown up for you to show you something cool. So you'd be like, wow, that's a really cool background.
That's right.
And then you tell your story because this is a picture. Who cares?
Like, well, and it's intended to be a conversation,
yeah.
Even for those startups.
Sure.
Sure, there's 500 plus people in the audience, but if it's a one-on-one conversation, it's far better than a presentation.
Yep.
And so it's one of those things, it's a mindset thing. They just have to understand to think about it in a different way, and that's a challenge.
It certainly is. You guys do a great job of helping with that, and I think one of the main things that's been a kind of initiative for me, and you haven't been to the Technori 2.0, as I call it, yet. But
I'm excited to show up. I'm in town for a little while longer. I have a few more weeks still, so I'll be there.
We'll throw it a little early for you this month.
I like it.
We'll let you in a little early.
I'm bi-coastal, if you will.
Well, we'll find a way to get you at one of the Tuesdays. And then I think also in October we're going to do it a few weeks early because of holidays and stuff. The last Tuesday falls on Halloween, and it's no good.
That is no good. Oh, that could be a lot of fun to do in costume.
I don't know if we'd get people in there, but yeah, we'll find a way to get you in there. But the one thing that I took away was, since sort of taking over the reins, is to remove what I call sort of divisive obstacles.
Right.
Having a table and chairs and things that are put between me and the audience, and in particular me and the startup companies. You got to get rid of it and try to make this about interactive with the people in the audience and sort of create like kind of a fireside, if you will. And so what we've really worked on is going forward is when the startup companies are done pitching, the Q&A session is sort of like me and the startup and the community sitting on the front step. And it's literally where they can sit below the light and they can see our faces and we can see their faces and really have a conversation and a dialogue. And I think based on the responses I've gotten from people who've attended my first two Technoris, they've loved it.
I love that. I can tell you that I get paid to do a lot of keynote presentations and speeches.
I would say
just did one last week, and I've got some more coming up. And it's the kind of thing where when I start those paid keynote presentations, I always say things like, I say it every time. I can have a monologue where it's me standing on stage speaking to the audience, or we can have a dialogue.
Yep.
And I always prefer a dialogue. And I think what you're doing is you're breaking down those physical barriers, opening yourself up and saying, let's talk, let's have a conversation, an actual dialogue. It's so far better and so much more inviting for the audience.
I had no less than 10 people come up to me immediately following the show and literally say, like, I don't know if it was the fact you just wore a t-shirt or if maybe it was they could smell the beer still. I don't really know what it was, but they came up and said, literally, like, the idea that you made us feel comfortable right from the start. And I think that in my mind is more in line with what you guys are training the companies to come on stage. They come in, and if I can make everybody feel comfortable in the audience as well as on the stage, they can be their best and present their best. And I think this month really showed it. I mean, we had one, I'll out or whatever. Life Chicago. No, Social Life Chicago. She came in, and I think Max will tell you she was very hesitant. And she
Max
was very
is
scared.
One of my guys.
Yep, Max is your guy. He helped us out this past week, and she was very hesitant. She was very quiet when she was talking, and he kept saying you got to speak up. And she actually got so flustered just in front of our immediate group that she actually had her time delivering the message of what her company was.
Yeah.
And she worked with some people before the show. Terry Braxton, Women Tech Founders, helped her a little bit, but you guys got her to feel comfortable enough to stand on a stage in front of people and just tell it, and she did a great job. I was worried, and she did a great job.
People, everyone knows, this is tough stuff. And when you take your stage, it's a big barn, big lights, you see cameras, all those faces. It can be very intimidating. And even if you're prepared, even if you're ready, your emotions can get the best of you. So we work hard on certainly things like content, yes. But part of that preparation really is getting people emotionally prepared, really getting kind of the game face on.
The two or three pieces that you guys always talk about that resonate with me, and I say to everyone the entire week leading up to this. One, this is just for context for anyone listening. I don't know if you say it or Max or both of you, but people are more afraid of speaking in public than they are of death.
Right.
That blows my mind.
Yeah, it's true.
That shows how important it is you are properly trained before you walk up in front of people, because you don't get to prepare for death. So, you know, you got to prepare for speech.
Right.
The other thing is, you guys always talk about, we talked about it kind of briefly, but the ability to not abuse your audience's time, to tell them a story. They came to sit down, now tell them something worth their time.
And we say, essentially, we say, don't be selfish.
Yeah.
It's the kind of thing where the root word of presentation is present, as in happy birthday. I'm giving you a gift. Have a present. And if you keep it all about you, then you're just very, very selfish.
Yep.
And no one wants to hear that. And so it really is one of those things that
I've always been selfish in relationships, though. I don't know.
It's going to cost you.
Well, it already has.
See?
it already has.
Keep that bottle of Voop handy.
This
you might
for
need that.
Me.
You might need that.
No.
Some goodwill in a box.
It certainly is. Before we kind of pan out of this here, why don't you give some advice, whatever advice that might be for startups or to people who have to speak to large audiences. I know you guys work with tons of large businesses as well.
Right.
You know, a little free advice goes a long way, and then we'll find out how these people can get back in contact with you.
This is the number one thing above all. And even for those that are really petrified of standing up in front of their peers, the thing I would tell anyone and everyone that ever listens to this kind of stuff is you have to know what it is you stand for. We need to know what your core beliefs are. And this is incredibly challenging. It sounds easy. But if you ask pretty much anyone in any line of business, and I'm talking, we do this with CEOs of big, major brands that I guarantee everybody knows. If we say things like, what do? They can tell us. If we say, how do you do it? They can tell us. If we ask them, why do you do it? They crash and burn.
Yep.
The purpose, the belief set, the foundation of every business is the absolute core. I always use the example of Whole Foods. Now, Whole Foods stock has been slammed the last 18, 24 months. But everyone can see from a distance, both those that work there and certainly those that shop there. You can almost tell Whole Foods people.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Yeah.
They have
you can
a look.
See them walking down the street.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, 100%.
And you know that the people that go to Whole Foods are not also swinging by Walgreens to get a pack of Oreos.
Yeah.
They're not.
Yeah.
They're going to eat organic kale that's been locally produced.
I actually do shop at Whole Foods, and I also eat tons and tons of M&Ms that I get at like CVS and Walgreens.
And we can tell. No.
Hey.
Be nice to the guests.
No.
It's one of those things where you have to have those core beliefs, because I always say this, the goal of business is not to work with everyone.
Yep.
It's not. The goal of business should be to work with those that believe what you believe.
Yep.
Whole Foods is not trying to get everyone. They're just trying to get those people that believe in that organic, local, you know, herbicide-free kind of thing. And that's enough. They're struggling because so many people have come in and taken
the
market share.
Yeah, that's a whole other thing.
Exactly.
The branding and the identity, I mean, they were the one who built this market pretty
much. And so the way I always talk about it now is think about McDonald's.
Yeah.
McDonald's has no idea what it stands for anymore. Why has it been struggling for so long in the U.S.? Because at the same time it wants to be fast, convenient, and cheap, it's also saying, oh, we're healthy too. No, your burger's in a shake, man.
Yeah.
You're selling fries. So
the minute they got away from selling Happy Meals and being fun and whatever, I think is when they lost their way.
Because they lost what it was that they stood for and believed. So the big thing is figure out what it is that you as an organization stand for. I said right from the top, we believe in making waves. If you want to play it safe and just sort of be demure and follow the crowd, don't call us. We're not the right people for you. But if you're a company that really wants to stand out, whether it's a sales presentation, a live event, a video you're creating, give us a call, because we're going to make your message resonate to your audience. And that's our core belief. We're not for everybody. And that's what people need to understand. Startups specifically need to know what it is that they stand for as a group, as an organization.
I think that's one position that they actually miss out on the most. And when we see a ton of companies, and we only bring the five that go on stage to you guys, there's a ton of companies that in there. I mean, if I could read you the applications, which, by the way, you guys have to fill out your applications before Monday night, August 8th, because that is the deadline for this month's Technori event.
Keep going.
Which is the Wearable Works. I do believe it's going to be a great showcase, but we need five quality companies to come on and send their application in before Monday. Side note. The main piece there is that we see a million applications
right.
where the guys 40 lines down. I still have no idea what this company is, no idea what the mission is. Done.
Exactly. We've been pretty lucky. We've had a bunch of teams on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
We've had obviously lots of, I'll call it just.
Did you work
of,
with Guard Llama? That's another one that's supposed to be coming on. Yeah.
We had a lot of, in air quotes, deal flow, because we're not necessarily doing deals. We're just helping. But I mean, thousands of pitches between the work I do on staff at Northwestern. We have more Northwestern connections again. Another Northwestern instructor.
Yeah.
It's like the day of Wildcat instructors.
This
here today.
Is, well, you know what? The home opener for the football season is coming up around the corner against Western Michigan.
Coach Fitz, let's go.
Better be a good year. Where do people actually go to find Square Planet, though?
It's a pretty easy domain, squareplanet.com. I always say it's like round earth, which confuses people.
Yeah, that is round earth.
Round earth.
I like it.
Squareplanet.com, and just give us a call.
Follow them on Twitter as well.
Exactly.
You guys tweeted everybody, you tweeted us.
We like to tweet. I actually, believe it or not, for a fairly old guy, I like Twitter. Twitter is one of those things that gets a bad rap because you can pick and choose. You know,
we can have you on for another conversation about Twitter. But I think that I wrote this in a post the other day. I think that they are finding their way. The new streaming out on demand of sports games, hockey games, and some of these other things that they're doing. I think they might have finally found it, because you're not going to watch long stuff on Facebook for whatever reason. You'll Facebook Live for an event or some quick thing, conversation.
Right.
On Twitter, you can literally put it on and then just sort of bounce back and forth and then check out the scores and watch live. And I think they found it. I think that's the monetization network.
I watched the both Republican and Democratic debate conventions, I should say, not debates, out of one eye and Twitter feed out of the other. Yep. It was brilliant.
Imagine putting them together in the same thing where you get the video going and all the tweets going against
that's
it.
That's been what I've been saying, that very thing. Yep. That's the key right there.
Thank you so much, Brian.
Thanks, Scott. I appreciate it.
For the booze and the congratulations for coming in.
It's my pleasure to be here and to be a partner with you in Technori.
Thank you so much. Thank you. As mentioned, this month theme is Wearable Works, and we do have our applications open for new companies all the way up until Monday, August 8th. After that, I guess you're just on your own. You have to wait till next month. So please, if you have a company idea or some sort of concept or a growth company or seed company, whatever it is, please go to technori.com, find the pitch link, and go ahead and send us your applications today so we can look for you in the future. You can stream this episode and more on WGNBusiness.com or download each episode on iTunes and stay up to date by following us on Facebook and Twitter at Technori, or follow me at Katoon. Boom, that's a wrap.